When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution. An all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year when you use code TARGET at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code TARGET. Monarch, the modern way to manage money.
Physical therapy for your baby. This is a very new topic, at least in my world, and one that I hadn't heard of since becoming a parent myself. And it seems that physical therapy for your baby and for your toddler is something a lot of people are doing. And today we're going to talk to Dr. Allison Mell, who is a physical therapist for babies and also has an account on Instagram called Tots on Target, where she talks all about your child meeting certain milestones and when to seek help from a physical therapist for your baby. So we're going to dive right in. Since this is my third, I feel like there are things that like I remember and I know and I feel good about. And then there are things that I'm like, wait, I totally forgot about this, or I forgot when my girls started army crawling or rolling or sitting, you know, all these different things. And I feel like the biggest thing that I see amongst parents is like, are my kids meeting milestones on time? And the anxiety and the stress that comes with that, that I feel like our parents didn't have because there wasn't social media telling you your kid needs to be doing this at this time. So I want to talk about that because I'm sure that's a big part of why you do what you do, is to like bring ease and comfort to parents' stress and anxiety. But let's just talk about how you started with these courses and with your online presence?
Sure. So as we said, I'm a pediatric physical therapist, and I've worked with babies from the newborn stage through kids age 10, 11. I worked in sensory gyms, in the school setting, and now more recently through educating parents and my virtual program. But it was really when I was in this school environment, I was there for a number of years, and working with kids who were struggling to keep up in the school setting, whether that was sitting upright in class at their desks or the circle times, navigating the stairs, gym class, the playground, and working hand in hand with OTs who were also working on writing and coloring and cutting, et cetera. And what we found over and over and over again was the kids who were struggling in preschool, kindergarten, first grade had often missed out on early milestones. They didn't crawl when they were babies. They missed out on some of those things. And it really showed us how much of a precursor, how much of a foundation early development is for building on, so that when kids are going off to school, they're really set up with the tools, the foundational elements for their bodies, not just knowing their numbers and their letters, but that their bodies are really ready for all that they're going to have to do in the school setting. And so it really inspired me to then go and say, like, okay, how can we educate parents that these milestones are important and not listen to so much of the, oh, it's fine if they don't crawl, it's fine if they don't do this, it doesn't really matter, and really make sure that we're helping our babies set up as strong foundation as they can so that we're building on top of that.
So how do you do that, though, without causing stress and anxiety? Because as parents, I always teeter with knowing too much information and then going back to, like, our parents raised us without all this information and we've turned out moderately fine.
Yes, so, that's 100% true.
Yeah. So, like, how do you do that?
Yeah. And my mom tells me all the time, she's like, I don't really understand what you do. I mean, she loves that I'm a physical therapist, but she's like, why does anyone need you? Like, you guys crawled. I'm one of four. I have four children. She's like, why do you do what you do? And it really is a balance. There are several things that we can consider, and there are different directions we can go. One is, do we want parents to be nervous? Like, how do you balance the, I want to make sure that I'm on top of everything, to, like, I can't worry and go down a rabbit hole of fears every time my child doesn't do exactly everything that every other child does. And so to that end, I say, as parents, education is really important, and just knowing a little bit of everything so that you kind of know what questions to ask. You know when to look out for something or when you need to go for extra help. And so the key with motor development, and I never want any parent to feel overwhelmed by this or in a panic, certainly. What I tend to tell parents is it's good to look out to see, is your baby keeping up, constantly moving forward in the progression. All babies should be able to move. All babies should be able to go through the developmental sequence. And so knowing about what age they're supposed to be doing each of the milestones is a good idea, just to have that information. And then also just paying attention to if your baby is motivated to move. Are they trying to move? And qualitatively, are they using both sides of their body the same way? Are they moving fluidly, easily, and making it through to these movements and these new milestones easily? That's really key. As much as I do tell parents about when those timeframes are, rolling is like a 4 to 6 month milestone, or crawling 7 to 10. If your baby is continuously making progress towards these milestones and is moving and is doing what I just said, then whether they hit it at 7 months or 9 months or even 10 and a half months for crawling, I'm less concerned specifically about that and more if a baby is making continuous progress. What I do see sometimes is parents who have been told to wait and see and don't worry and don't worry, and their babies are really struggling for whatever the underlying reason is. Their baby is struggling, and the parents actually feel like they're being dismissed. It's like the counter to that, which is, we don't want to be overly worried, but it's really not helpful when parents also are like, wait, my baby's not doing what everybody else is doing. And they then feel dismissed when they bring up their concerns and they go to the well checkups or they're talking to their neighbors or whatever it is, right? Their moms who are like, I never helped you crawl. And they feel very dismissed. And that's really a balance also.
Mom Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year, that's just $50 total, at monarch.com with code DELTA. That's monarch.com, promo code DELTA.
How much do you think physical therapy for kids has grown over the past several years? Because when I'm the oldest in my family, and even like with my youngest brother, I never remembered hearing anything about physical therapy for children. But since becoming a mom myself, I have friends talking about their kids seeing PTs from very early age. So is that like a big resurgence for you in your career field?
Yeah, it's definitely more common. And I think parents are more willing also to talk to their friends about their child receiving PT or speech therapy. It's less taboo, for sure, which definitely allows for more access, because then parents don't feel like, oh, if I get my child's PT to help them crawl, that means that there's something inherently wrong here, that there's something that's going to affect them for their entire life. Parents are definitely more willing to access the help earlier on. There's definitely more parents who are looking at what their child should be doing. They're looking at social media. They're looking at the books. They're looking at the experts. And they're also looking at everybody else. And that's across physical milestones, as well as, do they know their numbers by the time they're 2 years old? Do they know other things? Like, I think we're all, as parents, I mean, I have four children myself. We want to make sure our kids are keeping up. That's definitely part of the culture.
How much of your baby developing and learning things, and like a toddler learning things, is just letting them figure it out versus when, as a parent, you need to say, okay, maybe I need to go seek some assistance from someone like yourself as a PT?
Sure. All babies do not need physical therapy, right? Like, babies don't need to be taught, most of the time, do not need to be taught how to roll or how to crawl or how to pull to stand or how to walk. Most babies are going to do that on their own. And the best thing parents can do is allow them to have a lot of open floor play, right? To allow them to do those things. And that's, it's really should happen on their own. What sometimes happens is there might be some underlying challenge that is affecting a baby, and therefore they can't use their body in different ways. So I'll give you an example. Oral ties, for example, is if a baby has a tongue tie or a lip tie, what I commonly see, it's not 100% of the cases, but in many, many cases, when a baby has an oral tie, a lot of times that leads to full body tension. It leads to tightness in the shoulder or the trunk or the hips. And they end up actually either really not being able to move much at all. They move very rigidly, or they move very asymmetrically. I am seeing this all the time now. And it seems to be that whether or not they've gotten it released early or not, but I do see that. And what I'll often see is a parent will come to me, their baby is now 10 months old, and they're just sitting. They just sit. Maybe they're starting to butt scoot, but they really aren't navigating around on their own. And when I coach them through certain stretches that I teach, certain strengthening activities to help them get back on track, all of a sudden they're doing it the way they should be doing it on their own. Because we needed to like unlock the thing that was preventing them from moving along on their own. And so that's why I say it's so key to pay attention to whether or not your baby's kind of moving fluidly, like how easily are they moving and are they doing it on their own? Because naturally that's what they should be doing. So if there is a problem, it's something that is often fixable, like what I just described. And it's something that if we just let them be, I'm from my experience looking at these babies, they can't stretch themselves. And if they're so tight that they can't get in and out of different positions, it makes it very difficult to continue on in their development.
Do you notice a big difference in the patients that you see and also the people that you are able to connect to on social media between boys and girls from a very early age?
That's a really good question. I don't know why this would be. I'm trying to think. I'm thinking about like my actual membership of like who's joined. I think that there are more boys in there than girls, but that's literally, I've not actually looked at my numbers, and there wouldn't be inherently anything that I could pinpoint as to why. It's not that they're not developing. Usually if there's a reason why, so as I said, a baby's born with oral ties or had reflux, that can really also cause a lot of tension. Certain things, it might be a mother's, like the way baby's positioned in utero causes certain positions that lead to tightness. And so sometimes I see it with siblings. So that could be a brother and a sister, but it's really based on the positioning in utero from the mom. And I'll see the mom join with first their son. And then 2 years later, I've had a mom join with a daughter. And it's likely due to that, due to the way the baby's positioned in her womb and pelvis. So I can't necessarily, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, do I see more boys? Maybe, I think so, but there's no specific reason why. It might just be a fluke.
Is there any common theme that you do see as patients or that you connect with online that increase their need for some PT with, if it's their birth story, their parents' birth experience, their parents' past histories, or anything, or like even birth order? I even see now with my kids, I've always been told that boys develop slower, but have a totally different level of energy than girls do. And my first two kids are both girls, and they crawled and walked at the exact same time. And I was expecting my son, who's 10 months, to kind of be in line with that. But he's like off to the races much faster. And I don't know if that's because he's a third child or if it's just like in his nature. I always think that birth order and hearing about people's pregnancy journeys or how babies are born or like what they've experienced so far, how that plays into what kind of baby they are or their developmental rate.
Yeah, there's so many different factors, and I've really seen it all. There's not really one consistent trend that I've seen. And it's interesting because I will hear from people, oh, it's because my child is a third child that they're not moving because they have older siblings and they're so entertained by them. Or actually, my baby's the oldest, right? The only child. And they're not moving because I attend to them so much that I'm giving so much love and I'm bringing all the toys. So that's why they're not moving. Oh, my baby's in daycare and that's why they're not moving because they're not on the floor as much or there's so much going on around them. Oh, my baby's at home all the time. That's why they're not moving because they don't have peer models to show them how to crawl or walk. I've literally heard it all. And I've heard, my baby's too large to move. My baby's too small to move. I really have heard all of that. And I really think that it really comes down to every baby is different. I have seen no consistent trend. And really every baby, regardless of size, regardless of birth order, should be able to move and meet these milestones within those typical timeframes. I've seen the girls who are the fastest army crawlers you've ever seen. They are going and they're around and they can't stop moving. And I've seen the boys who are like that. And then I've seen the boys who are happy sitters, who are happy just holding a block and a ring, and that's what they're doing. And I've seen the girls who are like that. So I've really seen it all. And I think no matter what the circumstance is, right, it's, oh, I have a boy. This is why they are doing or not or aren't doing something. But you can easily find an example of the same birth order and gender and size that's doing the complete opposite. And so I think every baby is different, but should be able to do everything. Again, not exactly the same, but in general should be able to progress on in the same general rate. And there's always going to be variations, right? We're never going to have 100% that every baby's going to do this. There's some might be personality-wise more engaged in the fine motor play. And other babies might be singing to themselves more, like we definitely have all sorts of variations and that's totally fine. But it's really like, even in birth order, I've heard parents who come to me and say, this is my fifth child. Like he's nothing like my older children. I've heard it all. And so yes, there's a variety of everything, but like it's the rationale. Sometimes it's like because we're seeing it that they were like, oh, that's why it must be the case. And I don't know. It's not so simple in that way.
When I was looking at your page, I saw that you cover everything from stretches to torticollis, which one of my friends, her child had. That was the first time I'd even heard of that, to army crawling, to then getting to being on all four crawling. So is there a specific or common request that you get from parents to talk about or cover something specific in your courses?
Sure. There are a few things that really always jump out. One is army crawling. Is army crawling okay? Because so many babies army crawl. And my answer to that is army crawling is absolutely part of the progression, but we do want babies up on all fours in order to strengthen the whole body and prepare for the fine motor skills later on. And the other one is often around torticollis and oral ties, because they're not always picked up very early, and parents are not made aware that it can affect the whole body. And so parents have their babies have this history. And with torticollis, they might be taught some neck stretches, or with oral ties, it's very much focused on feeding, and they don't realize how much that actually affects motor development. And so then when their baby is not meeting motor skills, then they find my page and I talk about the connection between torticollis, oral ties, and delays in milestones, motor milestones. They're like a light bulb goes off for them. And they're like, tell me more, because I feel seen. You know, that like this is making sense finally, that I have a reason why my baby is struggling so much.
Is there an increase that you see in all of your years of practicing of people having more of a desire to hear about things like torticollis, or is it something that's been consistently of interest?
In my world, it's definitely an increase, because I also think that as I talk about it more, people seek me out for that topic more. So I haven't really looked at the trends nationwide, because I speak about it more, then I get those DMs saying, yes, my baby had torticollis and my baby has torticollis and my baby has this. So it seems to be, it is very, very common. But again, I'm in this like niche space. So everyone's going to come tell me about their babies who experience these things.
Can we talk about just what torticollis is for people who maybe don't have a friend like I did whose child had torticollis?
Good idea. So torticollis is tightness of the neck muscle on one side. It's the sternocleidomastoid muscle, which nobody should say because it's very hard to say. So we say the SCM for short. And it's a muscle that if it's tight or when it's taut, it causes the head to tilt to one side and turn to the opposite side. So as I'm doing this, that muscle is popping out. And so a lot of babies who we don't necessarily see that muscle because their necks, like you don't really see babies' necks so much because they're all squishy. But you will see often when they have this, that consistent head tilt to one side. It's sometimes, and usually a turn to the opposite side. And so it's sometimes hard to pick up very initially because think about it, a baby doesn't have good head control. So they're always kind of slouching to one side. So you want to pay attention to if you're seeing consistency towards one side, but also if it's not addressed, we will see it stay on for much longer.
And is your sweet spot of the kids that you cater to, is that birth to like 3 or 4 years old?
Yes, I would say that's, and more recently inside my membership, I'm really helping, I would say, babies from 4 months through 18 plus months, where like parents are starting to realize their baby is struggling with something like rolling, right? They're like, oh, they're only rolling to the right. They never roll to the left, or they're not even trying to touch their feet or engage at all. They're just lying flat. And through when babies are trying to walk and then move on to toddlerhood as they transition to walking.
Yeah. It's such a cool thing also when I was reading just different people's experiences doing your course, that so many things that you do when it comes to physical therapy for a baby that as a parent you can do with them at home through your course, which is like simple stretches with their bodies, getting them in positions for different things. So people who don't necessarily have access to come and see you in person or a PT in person, doing your online or virtual courses is another great option where you can give your child that same care with different stretches or close to the same care that will allow for your child to kind of meet their milestone.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the special things about the program actually is that it's really a member, an interactive membership. So I'm there. I get to know my members. So yes, there are pre-recorded courses, self-paced courses that they can watch for rolling, sitting, crawling, walking, and infant massage. In addition, I run weekly, usually twice weekly group Zoom calls. And so anybody in my membership can come to those group Zoom calls and I will literally go one by one and they will ask me questions about their specific baby. And so they will show me their baby, or if their baby is napping or at daycare, they'll describe to me what's going on. They'll show me a video what's going on. And I'll say, let's focus on this activity, or I want you to focus on this stretch, because it's really hard for parents to know exactly what they're supposed to do. And every baby responds a little differently, or how do they know how to advance a certain skill? It's not so easy always to know exactly what's going to suit your baby. And that's why this membership has actually been, has had such a high success rate, is because I'm actually there making sure that parents are seeing progress. And so they have access to me all the time. They can also, they have chat access with me. And so I will make sure that their babies are making progress. If their baby's not making progress, I am not doing my job.
I love that. That's so awesome. And I love your Instagram account too, because it's so easily digestible and also non-anxiety causing. So you're doing a great job tackling a very, for a lot of people, stressful and sensitive time in parenthood, and doing it in a way that is putting people at ease and also easily digestible information. So,
yeah.
Well done.